If you are binge watching movies this week like I was last, I encourage you to look up one I ran across. It's a 1997 science fiction film classic called Contact. And you immediately know it's science fiction because Matthew McConaughey plays the role of a Christian philosopher and minister. Well, underneath this gripping sci-fi plotline, there lies an incredible story of faith that is reinforced through personal experience. The main character, Jodie Foster, plays a scientist who spends her entire life in pursuit of a hope that we are not alone in the universe, that there are other forms of life somewhere out there, and her goal is to find them. Well, she discovers convincing evidence and she secures funding to build a type of time travel machine that will allow her to travel through wormholes in space and make contact with these beings. Her hopes are dashed, however, when the machine is demolished in a terrorist explosion, but somehow she manages, of course, to secure more funding, and she becomes the sole pilot that is going to travel to meet these aliens from outer space, our neighbors in outer space. Well, upon launching, the machine encounters turbulence, and Jodie Foster gets this big bump on the head, but she immediately enters into a wormhole, and she experiences an 18-hour journey where her hopes become reality. She's transported to this beautiful world where she experiences contact with other beings. But upon re-entry, she wakes up on the floor of the machine, and she discovers that she's still on the launch pad, and she's told that she never left Earth. Well, during an investigative hearing, Foster insists, "I did leave Earth. I recorded everything that I saw as it was happening. I did visit with aliens, and it was incredible." And yet those who were watching testified that they were only out of contact with her for a fraction of a second. So the interviewer says, "You have no direct evidence. You have no proof. What you're saying sounds delusional. Are you really going to tell us that we should take all of this on faith? Why don't you just withdraw your testimony?" To which she answers, "Because I can't. I had this experience that I can't explain, but everything I am tells me that it was undeniably real. I was given something wonderful, something that changed me forever. The knowledge that we belong to something greater than ourselves, that none of us is ever alone. And I just wish that everyone could feel the awe and the humility and the hope of that." Well, we can experience the awe and the humility and the hope of that. And yet it's not through aliens. It's through the Emmaus story. Cleopas and another unnamed disciple have spent much of their lives pursuing the hope that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel, to save them, to save God's people from foreign oppression. They have followed Jesus, listened to his teachings, witnessed the miracles of healing and the feeding of the 5,000. They got caught up in the excitement of the Passover festivities in Jerusalem, and then their hopes are dashed as they witness Jesus' crucifixion and death. Some of the women of their group came and told them just that morning. They found an empty tomb and angels proclaimed that Jesus was alive, but that seemed so delusional. Are they supposed to believe that? And now it's Sunday afternoon and it's time to head home to Emmaus after a grief-filled weekend. They begin their journey feeling lost and alone and deflated, probably confused. And as they walk, they begin to talk and download the events of all that had happened that weekend. And then this stranger just comes up beside them and falls into step with them, asking seemingly silly questions. And he says to them, "So what are you guys talking about?" And they stop in their tracks and say, "What do you mean? What are we talking about? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened in the events of Passover weekend? How could you not know these things?" And Jesus innocently asks, "What things?" I love this story, and I love Jesus' sense of humor and care for his followers in this moment, because by asking these questions, Jesus gives his friends space to pour out their hearts about the one in whom they had placed all of their hopes and dreams. And from there, a door is opened to Jesus' grace. Space is given to allow him to open their eyes to his surprising presence and to who he really is. Through this story, Jesus invites us to take a walk with him and learn how we can experience the surprising presence of the one in whom we can place our hopes and faith. One thing that struck me about this story is that once the two disciples recognize who Jesus is, they say, "Remember how our hearts burned as he was opening the scriptures to us?" Jesus listens to them, and then they are open to listening to what he has to tell them about what the scriptures point to, the way of the Messiah's suffering, death, and resurrection, the way they point to the fact that he was the one to redeem them, to save them. Most people have heard the story about John Wesley's Aldersgate experience, where he was at a chapel service on Aldersgate Street in London in 1738. And while someone read from Luther's preface to the Book of Romans, Wesley said he felt his heart strangely warmed. His heart was literally burning as scripture was open to him. And he wrote in his journal, "In that moment, I felt I did trust Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from sin and death." He was already a priest when he had this heartwarming experience. And what most people think is that this just happened to him out of the blue. But what most people don't know is that he had been hoping and praying for a moment like this. He had been preparing his heart for this moment. He and his brother Charles had journeyed to America to spread the gospel in Georgia, and they had had this disastrous experience. And so his hopes were dashed, his faith was shaken, and he got back on a ship to England. And during that trip, a storm came up and the boat was threatened to sink. And in that moment, Wesley said he noticed that while he was cowering in fear of death, there was a group of Moravians who sat across on the deck. They were singing hymns and totally calm. And Wesley decided, "I want what they have." And he discovered it was this assurance of faith that is experienced in the love and peace and joy, that we have this assurance in Jesus. So he began searching it out in Scripture and praying for it. And by the time he went to Aldersgate, his heart was ready to have the Scriptures opened to him by the Holy Spirit. But he was still surprised and awed in the moment when he experienced this real experience of Christ in his midst. If we want to experience Christ, the risen Christ in our midst, and be surprised by him, we need some time. We need to spend time preparing our hearts to hear what scriptures have to say to about Jesus. We need to listen. Jesus listened to the disciples, and in turn, they were open to listening to him, to have him open their minds to scriptures. Friends, Jesus is always ready to listen to your hopes, to your disappointments, to your desires. And when you lay all that at his feet, and then your minds, our minds, are then open to listening to what he has to reveal to us. If we hope to experience the risen Christ in our midst, it's important that we share our hopes and our cares with Christ. It's important to listen to Jesus as the Spirit opens scriptures to us. And as the Emmaus story would suggest, it's also important that we offer hospitality. By the time this party of three comes to the end of their 7-mile journey, it's late in the afternoon, and Jesus is prepared to keep walking. Well, I think it's safe to say that he's hoping for an invitation to dinner. He won't be presumptuous and invite himself in. But his words have had such an effect on these two men that they implore him, they beg him to stay with them. And it's in their hospitality that the door of grace is open for them to experience something that will change their lives and ours forever. While Jesus always invites to his table those who love him, he always has and he always will, it is their invitation for him to stay with them and eat with them that opens their eyes to a whole new way of seeing and believing and experiencing Christ in their midst. As we watch what's happening in our homes and the homes of others during these weeks, as we enter into week 6 of sheltering in place, as good as it is for our families to be together, or others' families to be together in their homes, there are some stresses that arise in this as well. Parents with adult children are surprisingly finding that their children have become protectors. My own children sometimes say, "You went where this week, Mom? You did what? You shouldn't have left the house." Some students at home are feeling smothered and micromanaged. Spouses are wanting some space. Older adults are feeling frustrated and deflated by technology, and younger adults are feeling frustrated at trying to teach technology to all of us. A Wall Street Journal article this week offered advice that I think is Emmaus worthy on how we can sort of restore or redeem these frazzled relationships. It began by saying that in times of stress, we tend to want to just tell people what we need to do, what they need to do, how they need to do it. And instead, it was suggested that in order to make these relationships between generations better, perhaps we should not begin by telling, but begin by asking questions, like Jesus did. How are you doing? How are you coping? What are you most concerned or afraid about right now? What do you hope will come out of all of this when it's over? And by asking questions, as Jesus did, we open the door to communication. And then the article says we need to listen carefully so that we have a door open to show our empathy and to show how much we care. Because that's where all these statements are coming from, right? We're saying these statements because we care. But we need to let the door open to say, "I really do care about you." We have the door open when we listen carefully to also offer our hospitality. "How can I help you?" We have the door open to ask someone younger to stay, to help us with an issue that we're having. We have a door open to gain wisdom from those who are older than ourselves, who've been through difficult times before, who are not as frazzled as we are by that. We have a door of grace open so that Christ can enter into our relationships and bring healing and peace and wholeness. All of this is available through asking questions, through listening, and through offering hospitality. The travelers on the road to Emmaus teach us something else. If we want to be surprised by Christ, hospitality extends in sharing our bread. As they sit down to the table to eat, they offer Jesus what they have, and Jesus surprises them by taking on the role of host. Their eyes widen as Jesus did something that they had seen him do so many times before, at the feeding of the 5,000, at his last meal before his death. He takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and in that moment, their eyes are open completely to seeing who he really is, their Redeemer and their Savior, who has broken his body for them. The women's story at the tomb was not a delusion, and neither is their experience of his presence in that very moment. Friends, as we share with others of our bread, of our resources, of our time and prayers, our own experience of Christ's presence becomes real in our lives, and our hearts burn with the joy and the warmth of his Spirit. I know that's happened to those of you who have shared of your resources and your time this week and your encouragement. Your hearts burn with joy. But it also becomes real in others' lives as Christ becomes host and his love is experienced in their own hearts and lives as well. What the disciples experienced changed their lives forever, so much so that they couldn't stay where they were. They immediately jump up to go share the news with their friends in Jerusalem. They go back in the dark Friends, the gift of Jesus' presence, this story tells us, is for sharing. Now, I don't know what you're pursuing this week or what kind of journey you're on, but I do know that your hope is best pursued and your journey is best navigated with Christ's presence, a presence that you can experience so fully, but you can't always explain or prove. So this week, may you walk the road to Emmaus with Jesus and others. May you ask questions. May you listen intently. May you show hospitality and share your bread, and do so knowing that Jesus walks with you. You are not alone. And as you do this, may you be surprised at the places Jesus appears in your life. Amen.